Happy Friday, everybody. It's the last day of the regular work week, and can't wait. But we've got a great amount of stuff to go over, including the tremendous outpour of people down in Colorado Springs for President Trump and the speech by Cory Gardner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We also have trials. We've got Weinstein trial where they can't reach a verdict on the more serious charges. And we've got,
if you're looking for work, Michael Bloomberg is apparently paying $2,500 a month to people to be nice to him on social media. So
I wonder how much he paid Wellington Webb.
I promise he did.
It wasn't Wellington Webb. Oh, sure.
He didn't even have to tweet anything.
No, he didn't have to tweet anything. That had to be a $20,000 minimum payday.
A lot to talk about. So let me tell you this. If you want to call into the show, we welcome all calls, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008.
And if you've never called in before, we especially would like to talk to you.
Yeah. And if you, I was the tweets last night. Some people, surprisingly, were not happy that Donald Trump was in Colorado. So if you feel like talking about that, you can too. And if you want to join us via Zoom, which is kind of fun, we've got a couple of callers who do that. We'd love to have more. All you need to do is, well, you can do it two ways. You can go to bbsradio.com/the Chuck and Julie Show, click on a link there. That'll automatically bring you up to Zoom, and then you just on the Zoom screen click the video and you're there, or you can go to zoom.us and join the meeting, and that meeting number is 209-576-423. I think, do we have Jan Cook with us yet? Jan Cook was going to come on. We're trying to have her on regularly on Fridays with Colorado Freedom Force to keep us up to speed, number one, on what's going on at the state capitol. The Democrats are just out of control, I think it's fair to say. Also wanted to talk to Jan. She had VIP tickets.
Yeah, why do we have VIP tickets?
And I think she's connecting now, so we'll wait till we see her picture. Wait, people texting. Okay. Oh, that's Anil. So we can read Anil's text while we're waiting. Anil Mathai, our good friend from up here in Adams County. Anil has to say, oh, he's going to be listening. This is important. He's right. Please remind people to show up at their caucus. He's going to try to do a Zoom during the second half of the show. Right now he's listening via iHeart. There are so many ways to listen to us. You can even say, Alexa, play the Chuck and Julie show. This is cute. And Neil said he logged in yesterday wanting to listen. He forgot it was Thursday. So we're talking, just so you know. And weigh in, actually. We'll take suggestions, perhaps. Only nice ones, I guess I should say. There's some
No death threats.
No death threats. We're probably going to be going to...
We had a full quota of death threats earlier this year.
That's right. So, yeah, and that was fun. We're going to probably be going to 5 days a week. You're coming up pretty quick, too. So I don't know. We're trying to weigh that with golf season, a lot of things going on. But anyway, do we have Jan Cook. Let's bring on Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force. She was at the
big rally.
The big rally yesterday. So, hey, Jan, good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Hi there.
Should we see you, or are you not camera ready?
Okay, there she is.
I'm there. You know, I was expecting to come on at like 3:30, so I was in the middle of trying to put you live on Colorado Freedom Force here.
Oh, okay. I sent you a text or an email earlier. I'm sorry. That's okay. We just surprised
people. Now, Jan,
people.
Is off the world, but are you married?
I am married.
Yes.
She is. Okay. Well, you can't
You're
come
married?
On. You can't come on our dating site. You can't come on our dating site.
Well, you know, at least for now, I think my husband's still okay with me. So.
Okay.
All right. And we are here officially opposed to throttles, actually, too. So at least I am. It's like, Chuck, no. Yeah. All right. That's enough of that. Jan, you were at the rally. Talk to us about the rally. How cool was that?
Okay. I just started the party there. So hopefully they see us on Colorado Freedom Force. I want you to know I had no idea that it was going to be that intense, that crowded, that many people. I mean, I knew there would be, but I don't think until you see it does it become really real for you, you know? I have not been to one.
Okay.
When you see it on TV and you're seeing the cameras pan, it's one thing. But to literally see all of these lines of thousands of people, it's hard to explain. It's just intense, but orderly, yes. Fun, the exuberance of the people, the happiness that was in the crowds. It was like nobody seemed to have any issue was standing in these long lines.
And it wasn't that warm yesterday.
But you had
either.
A VIP pass. You got some special gate.
And it was such a surprise because I had not asked for one. I didn't even know you could get one other than maybe some legislators and things like that.
Right.
I got a phone call from the Trump folks in the state and said, Jan, we have a VIP pass for you. And I thought, wow, I was just trying to figure out how am I going to get there and the logistics. And so what that meant was I was expedited through the system. And so cool. I was able to go right through, sailed right through, got into the room, but you're there for hours waiting for everybody to get processed through because they have to go through your jackets and you can't have jackets and no water. You couldn't bring anything in. So it was really... they ran it like a real tight ship.
Right. Well, let me ask, because we've never been either. But now that we know you, maybe next time we can ride on your coattails. But we have a friend who's gone, and he said the exact same thing you did. And this guy, he's a lawyer too, like Chuck. He's kind of cynical a little bit, right? And we've got Ben joining us via Zoom too, so we can go ahead and bring Ben up as well. So
this is a party, Friday afternoon party.
Sitting around, that's right. Maybe one day we'll do cocktails or something.
Well, sure.
At any rate. He said the same thing that you did. He doesn't get impressed easily. And he said it's amazing to see. And he said it is hard to explain. He said it looks cool enough when you're there. But he said being there in person is, and he said the same words you do. He said it's intense, but in a really good, uplifting, exuberant way.
Yeah. And I happen to be lucky. There were two areas I could have sat in. I could have sat behind Trump and looked at his behind the whole time. Oh. And hope that somebody out there in TV land would see me.
Yeah.
Right.
To sit where I could see him. And I would rather that. And I am so glad I made that choice because it was so nice being able to actually, you know, when you would turn and you would look over at the various crowd, it was just more intimate than if I felt that if I was sitting behind him. So I was really thrilled.
He spoke for like 2 hours. Now I got to say, as a TV reporter, I covered a lot of speeches and I would be like, oh my God, 2 hours. But does it seem like 2 hours or how is it listening?
No, it actually goes pretty quickly. And there's this level of energy he brings into the room. And by the way, Pence also, President Mike Pence, he came on before to introduce Trump before. He was fantastic. He got everybody going. And then when Trump walks into the room, It's hard to explain. It's you really get this big presence from him, and I will say also that Cory Gardner lit up the room.
Right,
he was his energy level matched the president's, and the president was very clear how much he really values Colorado, values Cory Gardner. And really made it, and the crowd was cheering Cory. I think because Colorado's been co-opted so badly by one party domination.
Yes.
He's feeling it, that they really understand what's at stake here, especially given right after the impeachment process and knowing that Cory was really working with people like Romney and Collins, Senator Collins, Senator Murkowski, trying to get them, you know, coalesced around supporting the president. I think that Trump really appreciates the work and the energy of people like Ted Cruz and Cory Gardner that really worked to try to broker and corral the senators that tend to go off on their
own. Even Ryan Paul criticized Mitt Romney today too.
He came. Paul Ryan.
Ryan Paul.
Yeah. Ryan Paul.
I listened all, you know, I streamed. So I listened to all 2 hours of the speech and it was just fun and uplifting and the president's a little crazy. Which makes it, you know, you never know what he's going to do. I mean, he goes into, did he win the debates 4 years ago? Which nobody cares, right? But he's just reading off, you know, the percentages of approval for 10, 15 minutes. And you kind of go, this is insane, but somehow he makes it fun, right? I mean, that's right.
Exactly. He's taking the sheets of paper, he's reading it, and then he's talking.
Yeah.
You know,
you kind of go, well, you should be talking about the future, but it doesn't matter because it's Trump.
What he was doing? What he really was doing was setting up the media and the crowd to understand you cannot go by what these people tell you.
That's a good point.
And that's basically what he was doing, is saying we're
going to. Well, it was so much fun because, you know, it goes against Neil Cavuto.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. I mean, Neil Cavuto kind of I like sometimes and really hate sometimes.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that, and there's some guy Fowler on Fox, he can't say that.
Yes.
Why you can't say it? Well,
journalists can criticize politicians all the time. Since when is it politicians can't criticize?
But here's what's interesting. He kept saying how bad Cavuto's ratings are.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they are.
So, I can't tell you the last time I watched Cavuto.
I know. Yeah, you're like, is he still on? No, here's the thing. That Trump, he says what you think, because lately I've been noticing Drudge is being a little bit more pro-Trump. And even he said Drudge likes me again. Yeah. So Trump has a – let me – Ben Nicholas is here. So, Ben, let's bring you on in, too.
Hi, Ben.
We can have a bunch of people.
Hi, Jan.
Hey, so Ben, did you watch the speech last night, or were you there?
No, I wasn't there, but I went over to the North Jeffco Tea Party and watched it there with that group, Jimmy McFarland's group.
Oh,
yeah, it was fun. You know, there's probably 30 or 40 people there, so it was interesting to watch that and the reaction. So all of us are in support of Trump, certainly, but I just felt, you know. He is so relaxed when he's on the stage and talking.
Yes.
Well, he enjoys it so much. He's clearly having a great
time. He's like a rock star,
yeah.
He just knocks it out of the park, and I'm thinking, are you sure Bloomberg is going to have an opportunity at this or not?
Jan, let me ask you that, because you were there in person. So did you see the Democrat debate at all Wednesday or any – it was kind of fun.
You know what? I did, because Bloomberg was going to be on. I thought this is going to be the greatest show on earth.
It was the greatest show on earth.
The Democrats were going to react. And I'm telling you, that was a blast watching all of the antics that went on with that. But I thought it made it so clear. And he actually mocked, and Ben, you probably watched this as well. There was a segment where he mocked the Democrats in their debate.
Right.
It was clear that there really isn't anybody that's going to really measure up at this point to Trump. But what I love about Trump, he's going to do these rallies. He's not going to give one inch.
No.
Work all the way through as if he's the underdog. And this is what I love about this man. He takes nothing for granted.
Right. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to just throw out some numbers, guys. So in Colorado, they had... over almost 72,000
tickets.
People wanted tickets. Okay. Now you look at Bernie Sanders, he gets 11,000. Like, that's great.
Pretty impressive,
you saw
actually,
Amy Klobuchar had a couple hundred. I mean, you just look at his numbers, but he did it the day before in Arizona. He had 67,000 people in Arizona wanted tickets, right? 72,000 the next day in Colorado. He's in Vegas as we speak right now. Again, tens of thousands. If I'm a Democrat, I got to be going, ooh, that's a little concerning. And of those, let me finish dazzling you with statistics of the Colorado people. So 38, they identified almost 39,000 voters, the Trump people getting data, right? And Ben, I'm going to ask you a question about this in a second. 19% of those are people who didn't vote in 2016.
Who
showed up. And 17%
were Democrats.
Were Democrats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First GNU and then Ben, what do you guys make of those numbers?
Well, just alone, the people that were standing in line, I think we could have filled at least 2.5 arenas up, and that held 8,000. So that means 16,000 or greater, I think it was more like 20,000 plus, showed up to stand in the cold. Of course, there's always going to be reasons why you're not going to attend something, but when you've got 20,000 plus people showing up to stand in those long lines, and another, you know, whatever it was, 15, 20,000 that had signed up for tickets. That's just amazing. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in our lifetime of somebody that all across this country gets those sort of numbers.
Right.
So no matter what, there's a belief, there is a an interest in what this man has to say. And nobody is being paid to be there and to see this man either.
No, not like Bloomberg. Ben, let me ask you this then, as somebody who's been involved in precincts and caucuses. So the 70,000 people who ask for ticket, besides just showing the enthusiasm that Jan's talking right. about, I think, don't you too, Chuck, that's also data, information data. On people that the Trump victory campaign people are getting.
How I don't know if they got an old 70,000, but I know they got
I think they did because people had to put in. Right?
You so, have to put in, Chuck, you yeah. do, because I actually ordered tickets thinking I was going to be able to go. Normally, and you do have to put in the data of where you are, your email, and it has to work.
Right.
Did they ask your party or that, or they just check that against the rolls?
I thought there was something in there that asked about demographics. I did.
Okay.
Ben, and how important is that kind of information to a campaign?
No, it's critical because of the, there's something that's called geofencing. And so whenever you attend a rally like that, they capture all the phone activity that's going on there. And so they can identify, you know, who's at the rally. And that's how they can quickly come back and tell you how many percentage points there were of the attending Democrats, unaffiliated, and Republicans, because that's almost instantaneous. So it's just geofencing. It's about a actual geographical area where they can map. And that's how they do it. It's also great for marketing. You know, whenever you're trying to reach a certain group of people,
right?
You know, we were talking, or you were talking about the numbers here. So let me share with some information here.
Okay.
As of about midnight last night, the Democrats have generated just roughly a little over $800,000 this year in 2020
okay.
for the contributions going to Democratic candidates. The Republicans have generated just under $240,000, which is about 30%. Okay.
What candidates for what offices?
So statewide, all offices. Okay.
Okay.
All candidates.
Okay.
So the issue committees, 1.8 million, and the all other committees, 4 million plus. So you can see that there's about $7 million there. Now, just to give you some reference as to where we are, we have about 8 months left before the election takes place. In 2014, in the state, there's about $150 million spent. And that was because of that Senate race of Cory Gardner. Okay. In 2016, which was the presidential year, we spent about $150 million. Now, that's all parties. Okay. $150 million spent in Colorado. In 2018, it was $250 million. Okay, so that's the number's $100 million more, just slightly under that.
Wow.
How it's going right now, it's $7 million. So you're going to see a lot of money come into this state from other, you know, other points outside of this state.
Right,
absolutely.
It continues on the same trend. And so there's a lot of issues out there. As I said before, you have to watch out for these straw man type issues, such as the Proposition 112, which was about the oil and gas regulation.
Right.
That really was nothing more than just a get out the vote campaign. And that's what that was about. And the oil companies got suckered into that. Yeah, they put $9 million into a go to get out the vote.
And they won it, and then they quickly...
And then they screwed them.
Then they screwed them. That's right. So you had that going. Now, you mentioned that there was about 17% of the people that showed up last night at the Trump rally, at the Trump rally in Colorado Springs. Well, those are the unaffiliated that they...
These were actually people identified.
They were Democrats.
17% Democrats, or I thought they were 17% unaffiliated.
No,
there was 19% that didn't vote in 2016.
Right.
I don't know how they were identified, though.
They didn't break it down, Ben, to unaffiliated, but Jan, you probably saw the same tweet. The Trump campaign was saying 17% had identified themselves as Democrats.
Yeah. Now, if they're smart, they'll get a team together and they'll start harvesting those unaffiliated voters that did not vote in the last election cycle, 2018, because that's
how those 17% Democrats.
Right.
And now they know more likely than not that they're Trump supporters.
Right.
I want to go to the tripartite test, Chuck's tripartite test.
Okay.
A year ago on how Trump and Cory Gardner could win. And the only way they could win. One was Cory Gardner to give up his half of this, half of that. I'll be John McCain. I'll be you know, Fleck, yeah. I'll be any of those. He's got to give that up. Mm-hmm. That was a good strategy in 2014, quite frankly. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. 6 years later, it's a bad strategy. And Randy Corcoran and a lot of other people, you know, were trying to hit Corey up to, in fact, you know, choose a side and stay with it because you're not going to win otherwise.
Sure.
And secondly, for Trump and Gardner to pull their money together, do joint campaign offices and work all the way through that, not separate groups.
Right.
Campaign of, and so we've gotten two of those, two of the
Chuck
three.
Chuck is almost hopeful.
And now the third one is for tens of millions of dollars to come in and identify the voters that will vote for Trump, not just the Republicans, because
sure,
10 of those will, but like the 17% that didn't vote, or 19% that didn't mm-hmm. vote last time, 70% Democrats, and God knows how many unaffiliated. But that takes enormous effort. It takes mm-hmm. enormous pounding on doors, and you need satellite mm-hmm. offices every
you, yeah. similar. You must engage in ballot harvesting. It
yes,
is the
yes.
rule they set, and yes. we have to follow it, or else we will be defeated.
And it's starting already a little late, but if they just start these offices, similar to what the governor did, you know, set up these offices and get going and have it down. So, you know, they go, right. Chuck and Julie, you know, you got 100 houses, and Ben's got 100 houses over there.
Jan,
you know,
yeah.
Jan, you know, you're kind of the lowest level, but, you know, find out all 100, you know, and which ones are ours, and go collect those ballots, because that's the only way.
But let me, right, I agree.
And then, Jan, let me ask you a question.
Let them respond.
Well, this is, it's responding and then actually, we're on the radio, when we're on the radio, you couldn't see
yeah.
us. Here's my question to you, though, Jan, is I've looked at even the evolution of some of the tactics that you guys, you grassroots guys use. You know, in the previous election, there was a lot of enthusiasm, but you guys really have your act together. Colorado Freedom Force, I mean, you're doing all kinds
what
of things.
What are you talking about? There's no enthusiasm in 2018.
Well, that's well, I think some of the grassroots people. Let
well,
me ask
somebody
my question.
Was excited,
Chuck,
I guess.
You, Chuck. My question, though, is talk to me a little bit about how you guys have evolved with your tactics, because I think you guys are working so much smarter and more efficiently, and you're getting to some of these key things that Chuck is talking about.
Well, the key thing is that right now we're totally focused on the legislature and trying to figure out how to be effective there. Mm-hmm. We're already starting to work with a bunch of different groups now because we can't, there's so much against us right now.
Yes.
There's over 468 bills that have already been introduced, and that is as of last Saturday.
Yikes.
So we're probably getting close to being over 500 bills right now introduced in the legislature. So the problem is that as much as we're fighting that, the one thing that I keep hearing these legislators say, in particular the Democrats, is that they think their constituents want these bad bills, okay? They keep saying that. So the shift is actually showing up at these town halls of theirs. And voicing, no, we don't want these bills, because what's happening is people aren't showing up there. They show up to complain to Cory Gardner, for example, the activists on the left.
Right.
But people that are moderates to center to left or right, typically they give up and they don't go to these town halls. So a couple quick things that have to start happening is, number one, we have to show up at those town halls. Okay. I know will agree with this. We're trying to get everybody to go out to caucus. That's coming
here
the first Saturday in March, March 7th. Second, do you know that the Colorado GOP now has, you can actually sign up for caucus at their website? So what they do is they collect all the data from all the people that want to sign up for caucus now.
Oh.
Then what makes my life easier as a precinct leader, I'm going to get a pre-printed list that you've already signed up for caucus. And all
that's
I
great.
Have to do is check off to say, I've got you on the list. So there's a number of things to Chuck's point that they're doing that are a lot smarter in terms of grabbing data and then doing something with it. And all of the Trump people are now working with Senator Gardner's group throughout various counties. And they're actually working inside the office with one another.
Yeah, right. That's what they have to do.
I'm going to continue my message of hope that I started on last Friday. But, hey, this is very cool. We've got Steve. Now, so I want to remind people, you can either call in at 888-627-6008, or you can go to bbsradio.com. facebook.com/Chuck and Julie. Click on the Zoom meeting. That will direct right here. So we have Steve. I didn't in the waiting room.
The waiting room.
So let's go ahead and bring Steve on up. Hey, Steve, thank you for joining us. I think we have to hit him. We're waiting. Is Steve there? Or maybe our BBS guy. Okay, if you guys can hear us, somebody can hear us, go ahead and just bring Steve up. Okay, Steve, hey, you should be able to talk. You're unmuted. Maybe Steve left. Okay. Well, Steve, if you can hear us, just jump on in. You're ready to go anytime that you can. But, Jan, let me then – hang on. Oh, Anil is texting. This is a long text, Anil, so I'm going to wait to read it in a second because it is important. He talks about the caucus. But, Jan, you know, one of the things this is a message of hope. I had talked earlier this week with somebody. This is one of those – it was sort of like playing telephone, somebody who talked to somebody. But all of my somebodies were informed. And what they said is exactly what you said, that the Trump campaign and the Gardner campaign, they're not just playing well together. They're in the same offices. They're sharing the same data. They're sharing the same people.
That same money. You got to pool the money and hire the same people. I mean, it's got to be, you know, the Trump Gardner, and there really is no difference.
But the other thing that I was told is what the Trump campaign is doing, and it's going to gear up, I think, early March, maybe right after the caucuses, is they're, I don't know how to say it, they're kind of creating their own identity politics groups so that they get people who are, say, maybe are interested in like, maybe, say, oil and gas or agriculture.
Sure.
Or something like that. And they're going to be working with those groups, and they're going to be leaders in those groups. And then they're going to be working on identifying not just registered Republicans who are going to vote anyway, but going ahead and finding out who's excited about those issues, who agrees with Trump. And, Ben, let me ask you
Do we have Steve on? You there, Steve?
He left. It says he left. When you see us go like this, it's in the chat room here.
Okay.
But Ben, I mean, I am hopeful now. I mean, where do you fall in the hope line? You've got Julie here and Jan. I don't know where you are. Chuck's here, which is really hopeful.
I'm always cautiously optimistic. I'm always cautiously optimistic.
Okay. Ben, how about you?
About us taking back the state?
Yes.
There's little or no chance for that, but
yeah.
Actually Trump winning in Colorado.
Trump winning and Gardner winning.
I think it's going to be, I'm hopeful along with Julie on that. I think that as we get deeper into the year here, perhaps in the summer, if I start seeing some serious activity as far as organized groups going out and strategically hitting precincts that we know that we can perhaps capture, then yes, I'll say that he may have a good chance of winning the state of Colorado back. But
you'll know it when they announce that they're opening all these offices throughout the state, like they did in Wisconsin, they're doing in some other states.
Right.
Then you know they're taking it seriously. Other than that, they're just doing a holding action.
One quick thing I'd like to bring up that. Sure. Yesterday, I one of the things that the Trump campaign is very involved in is voter registration.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
I was approached I was actually approached yesterday when I was walking up to go into my expedited line by somebody who said, are you folks registered to vote? And I was, and then we talked to him and he thanked us for stopping but he was prepared to register me if I were to say, no, I'm not. I would like to get registered.
Right.
Able to let him know very quickly and firmly that I was registered. And he moved on quickly to the next person. So I thought that was really good because exactly an easy lines to work with when you have that many people to also try to collect that kind of data and support. But I've been to trainings now where they're training as many people as they can to register voters. And they also want to do that at the caucuses. They want to be able to register people if they come and they're unaffiliated and they want to register.
And let me read this. Oh, go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say at the Jeffco Tea Party meeting, they did have a speaker about how to conduct a caucus. So there was a lot of conversation about that and what things to bring as far as your resolutions. All the things and proceedings that take place in a caucus. So that was pushed pretty heavily last night by Jimmy and his group as well. Good speakers. Tim Neville was there too to assist. And Anil gave a rousing speech.
As he does.
As he always does. You know, he's just one of those guys that can really move a room. So,
Well, here's Anil is texting me now. He's, and I agree with this. The strength of the Republican Party, he says, will be determined by the turnout at the local caucus. Those are your grassroots people. If they show up, and they'll have major influence. He said the goal for every county and state party should be to first and foremost get 100% turnout of their own Republican base. He says, yet many of the establishment buffoons will continue to push that we need to focus on the unaffiliated, which is arrogant because they all automatically believe they can get 100% or higher. And that's Republican turnout. And that's not the case. He says this is a caution, too. The Democrats are crazy, but they might be more energized in this state.
Just having Trump come, that alone.
Yeah.
Which indicates that he hasn't given up on the state, hasn't just think we're on the borderline. So that is a huge boost.
Yeah, I will predict that he'll be back. I think he'll come back at least one or two. I think maybe he's going to, migrate out. I mean, El Paso County is such a strong Republican county.
Right.
I would expect him maybe to go to the north a little bit and then maybe come back into the Denver area as a final visit. I hope that would be the case.
My source of hope told me that they are anticipating, and it's all very fluid, obviously, that they're anticipating Trump going, being back at least twice more, once in Denver and then once in on the Western Slope. Yeah. And let me mention why. I was talking with somebody with the Denver Republican Party today, and we've learned this from Jake Viano, from Casper Stockham. Right. In Denver, people may say, oh, it's such a Democrat stronghold. That's true, but there are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Republicans in Denver.
You got to get Denver if you're going to win. I mean, you've got to cut down the margins. And Walker Stapleton never went to Denver. So he never took Casper Stockholm with him and so forth. And it was just part of a whole litany of things while he lost by double digits. But, I think this, just Trump coming, so energizes the thing. Seeing Cory Gardner no longer playing, Patsy with the left and Patsy with the right was really encouraging. He gave a good speech. I mean, he's a chameleon. I mean, I remember from 2010 when he was Mr. Tea Party, and then he became Mrs. McConnell. But he's back, and he's fighting hard. And I think, I'm excited.
But he actually is coming to the North Jeffco Tea Party to engage in some conversation there. That's what Jimmy told me. So I think it's probably wise to get a hold of Jimmy, see if what he has to say. Bring him on your show.
Okay.
The other thing is that there was a –
good point.
There was a straw poll that was held, although it was in CD7. People were asked as to their support for Casper or for Steve House. And Casper won 100%. It was unanimous.
26-6, but almost 100%.
He's talking about Jeffco.
Oh, Jeffco. Really?
Jeffco Tea Party. Yeah, those people, about 40 people there. Wow. And they were all unanimous in their support for Casper over Steve House.
I think that that's consistent, though. I think with the Tea Party people, I think that has been a consistent, they have consistently supported Casper. So that actually doesn't surprise me.
It's the overwhelming nature of it. I mean,
let me say this. So Steve House did get, I think, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee upgraded, and this is good news in general, upgraded his race to a contender status, which means he'll get some money thrown at him there, maybe a little bit of attention.
Well, if Casper wins, maybe.
And hopefully if they see the race as a contender,
But the other thing that Trump said, and you can't always believe everything Trump tells you, he said, I'm not behind in Texas. And I agree with that totally. And he said, I'm not behind in Colorado. There, I think he was a little too.
You think he might have been stretching things?
Yeah.
So. Hey, Jen, let me ask you this, and you can stay on, but I don't want to take all of your time. I want to get you because I think it's just so important to keep folks updated on what's going on at the state legislature that we need to be
aware of. One of the things that I wanted to bring up is that the unionizing our state employees.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I know. Which is Senate bill, excuse me, it's House bill. It started over in the House, but it's supported by the Senate President, Leroy Garcia.
Right.
But it's House Bill 1153.
Okay.
It's going to now go over to the Senate side. If that bill is going to get killed, it has to get killed over there. So we're going to be doing some analysis on who are some of the senators that could be in trouble for supporting a bill like that. on the Democrat side. Right now, unanimously, I think the Republicans are not going to vote for that because they don't like the idea that taxpayers are no longer going to be part of that discussion of their tax dollars and how they're going to be utilized.
All the skyrocket, all the costs, benefits.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll be down to a half day work week. I mean, we unionize all those people. Yeah. Oh, God.
Say that again.
I said I wouldn't be certain about that because, you know, we have Kevin Priola in Adams County that is just somewhat wishy-washy on some of these things.
Somewhat.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah. No, no. As I said, they're pretty much, but yes, he's squishy on it. But the point is, he would be in that list of senators that we're going to have to put some pressure on. But overwhelmingly, the citizens I've talked to that are also on Colorado Freedom Force Facebook page are completely against it. Now, you would think that in Pueblo, which has a little more union workers, they are also not happy with this bill because they recognize the difference between the private sector being unionized versus state employees.
Yeah.
They're paying for their salaries being unionized. So even they're concerned with unionizing state employees.
Well,
so we're going to have information about that. We're going to have some call to actions on Colorado Freedom Force. And one thing I'd like to point out, because often on Facebook, as you know, you send out an announcement and people miss it. So what I'd like to tell people is when they go onto Facebook, click on announcements and click on action alerts. And then you can get yourself updated on what are we watching, what are we focused on that day or that week.
Well, and I'm going to give you a pitch. And then we've got Inglis joining us via Zoom. So we'll go to a new guest in a second. But a pitch, you guys make it so easy. If you think, well, I want to get involved, but that's a lot of work. I don't have time. You guys make it so it's all right there. All you got to do is put in, like, click your zip code or something like that, and it sends. I mean, you don't have to actually yourself draft the email if you don't want to and do all of that stuff. You guys have it so organized there that it's really easy to get involved.
That's just great stuff. All
right, and then the last thing I'd like to say, if you're waiting for your next guest, is we only have to the end of the month to collect the due date too late ban term abortion in the state of Colorado. We really need all hands on deck. We need as many people working to the end of the month to get in those signatures. So if they'll please go to duedatetoolate.com and they can click on to get a petition. They can find out where to sign the petition. We'd really appreciate all hands on deck till the end of the month.
All right, Jan, thanks.
Jan, feel free
to stay if you want. I know you have a life too, so.
Yeah, I'll just mute for now. I'll take myself off video, but I'm going to continue to listen.
Thank you so much.
Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead. We've got now Inglis. Is that how we say your name?
Not moving.
Let me see. Okay, we've got, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what your name is. Oh, you're eating your sandwich. Do you want to join the show or are you just eating your sandwich?
I'm fine. Thanks.
All right. You're just listening. All right. Let's keep everything clean. Well, Ben, let's get back to you and talk a little bit about, and Inglis, just jump in. Well, what can you say? Do you want to say your name or no? Oh, he just took his video off. We got to be probably careful. You never know on the Chuck and Julie show what might happen. We have to be.
It's always fun. Always exciting. Anything can blow up. I mean, you never know.
Nobody taking a shower, please. No calling from the shower. So, Ben, you know, we've talked a lot with you and other
certain exceptions to that rule. But,
yeah. Well, we can take
this
a
is what I love about your show is because you can see everybody.
It's just so nice.
And
let me show folks again, you can go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie. There's a link there where you can automatically come up on Zoom. Please not if you're in the shower or if you're in the shower or you want to just call in 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I have to say, you know, a little while ago, Ben, I was kind of depressed about, I was happy about the Republican Party nationally, but kind of depressed about it locally in Colorado, thinking it's lost forever. But when I look at the numbers and when I look at Trump coming here, yes, on one hand, I agree with Jan that he's not going to leave any stone unturned. On the other hand, though, if his people thought it was a complete waste of time, I don't think they would have come. So they must be seeing something, and the Cory Gardner people must be seeing something that makes them think it's worth their while, which makes me a little bit more hopeful again.
I'm hopeful too, because I think if in fact he pulls this off and he has an opportunity of taking the state, and it's going to be tight, believe me, unless they really, really get the troops out.
Well, unless the Democrats keep on giving us gifts like that debate in Las Vegas. And they nominate Bernie Sanders and, I don't know, Stacey Abrams as his running mate. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly a possibility that, you know, it could go any way. I think it's probably 50-51%.
But Trump, I tell you what, this is their crown jewel of the blueprint as to how to take a state. And if Trump comes back in here and destroys that, that's going to break a lot of things that they're trying to migrate the same technique to other states. And Texas is on that target list.
Sure.
Well, and so you have that occur, that's why they're going to pull out all stops to try and protect Colorado for the blue. And unless he can get out here and like I said, engage with the ballot harvesting and everything else, then he's going to lose here. Like, but you know, your friend Ted
Cory Gardner's got lots of money from the marijuana industry and from Chamber of Commerce, and you combine that with all the funds that are coming into Trump. They combine those and start the field office and everything else, and the Democrats run. And I don't know.
And they have the data.
They have to have a coordinated machine. They cannot take money and give it to the state Republican Party and expect it to be used wisely.
No.
Until you take capital and you apply that capital in a judicious way, and that is a strategic way, you will lose. And that's what I'm hoping that hit. I know Trump's team is smart enough to do this. I'm just hoping they don't drift it off.
You know what, Ben, and this is back to my messenger of hope, of which I am the vehicle. This person indicated, how do I want to say this? No disrespect to the Colorado Republican Party, but I don't think they were going to be working with the Trump campaign people in Colorado, right? Mm-hmm. And when this person was talking about the Trump, the Colorado Republicans, they were solely talking about the Trump Colorado Republicans, right? So my sense was exactly what you said, that they're going to stay very focused. They're not going to start giving it to the state Republican Party so that they can give it to consultants who can send out more mailers and we can lose more races.
Right.
I think all you got to do is look at 2018 and you're like, you know, I think we're not going to give them any more money.
Well, if you back up to even 2016
and
what happened in this state and how the Never Trumpsters took that over. Right. There's many of those people that are still at the head of the state party, and that's the problem. And until we change that at a state level and start playing by the rules that the Democrats have put forth, it's going to be a tough battle for him. But I'm certainly he'll have my vote and all my family here.
Exactly. Well, that's what you want to talk about the debate a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And 888, there's plenty of time, 627-6008. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. That the debate had the highest ratings. Of
19 million for the broadcast as well as on view and other modes, 33 million altogether. I mean, just, and I, you know, quite frankly, everybody was like me, kind of like I'll listen for the first 5 minutes, and then if it's just going to be
boring,
I'm not. And boy, bam.
That was a great line. She said, "I'm going to talk about a candidate," and she said all these awful things. And
horse face lesbian.
And what did somebody said? That's the first time I think I've ever heard horse face lesbian in a debate at any level.
And it was. And today, I mean, she's been on various shows, and they're all hoping. And last night, hoping that she'd kind of mollify, right? And she would. They'd go, "Well, I saw you talking to the mayor of New York, and you seem a very convivial conversation." She goes, "No, he's a pig. He's a pig. He's a total pig.
And he's a
horrible- I'm gonna gut him. You go, whoa.
And he's a horrible debater. I don't know. You'd think the guy's been in politics before. You'd think he would have been a little bit better prepared, but I don't know. Hey, it looks like
let's bring up Anil Mathai.
Hey, Anil. Are we waiting for him to connect? I think with the Zoom thing, it takes a second to connect. So
it does.
Okay. So folks at BBS, just as soon as we see Anil, we'll jump in. I thought that, you know, Bernie Sanders.
He was okay, but he, He escaped on, you know.
But I thought Bloomberg had a good line with him, too, yes, when he said you're the most well-known socialist in the country, and you're a millionaire, and you have three houses. Yeah. And then Bernie Sanders tried to say, well, one of them's a summer cabin, one in Vermont,
and the DACA, cabin on Lake Champlain.
Yeah, the summer cabin doesn't count. Yeah.
Socialism is a lie, and that's what Bernie, why Bernie believes in it, but he knows that socialism is a lie, and it goes directly from socialism straight to communism, and then you have a dictator, and you never get rid of him, and that's the problem. And that's the sad part about many of our younger people. They just don't recognize how that transition takes place. It's so smooth.
Right.
And it's so deadly, and that's the part.
I love seeing Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar.
That was a cat fight.
She hates him so much. After the debate was over, she didn't shake hands. She just walked right by him. She hates the little guy. And the little guy is surprised, right? The guy,
in that debate there, when I forgot the lady's name, that the moderator that asked Amy Klobuchar about whether or not she knew the name of the Mexican president.
Right.
And Amy kind of stumbled in that. I thought for sure she had just come back and say, El Presidente, or just say, and then immediately just turn around and just ask that commentator what the name of the governor of Nevada was. I bet she doesn't know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I think actually I agree with Elizabeth Warren. You know, you're doing an interview, got 100 things going through your mind. I mean, Chuck on occasion calls me the wrong name on this show.
Yeah, but I knew who Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador is. I may not know my wife's name, but I certainly have the Mexican president's name down.
Yeah.
But I think that's a kind of thing that's not going to cost too much. Hey, I think we have Anil there.
There he is. We got the Anil.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Anil. Anil's
hey. Oh, it works. Good.
Yeah.
So, Anil, what do you make of the Trump rally, the Trump numbers, and what's your assessment? We're all kind of, even Chuck, verging on thinking about being hopeful for Colorado. What do you think?
Spring's coming. Everything's going good.
Well, yesterday while we were watching, Ben was there, but we were watching the speech in North Jeffco. I was sitting next to Senator Tim Neville, and I said, you know what? Here's the leader of the Colorado Republican Party when the president was speaking. I mean, we shouldn't be ashamed whatsoever. And he was hitting the points. He was saying, quote, illegal alien. Well, that isn't illegal. That is a legal word. And it's just amazing what he was speaking on. And I'm like, this is the type of leadership we need here in Colorado. So the speech was awesome, and I'm glad he was here. And just like Ben said, he needs to come up to Adams County, Denver area.
Yeah,
and I think it'll be a great.
We could do the podcast with him. Yeah. We could do the podcast. Hey, we've got Father Hugh with us on the phone. Hey, Hugh, thank you. We got a party going, Ben. Just like you said, it's Friday.
All right,
we're gonna get cocktails one of these times. Hey, Hugh, thanks for calling. What is he there,
Hello?
Hugh? Hey,
Hugh,
you're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was on. First, and I'll make it snappy, two things. First, I read the editorial in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. And, you know, this person must be a whistleblower. it was brilliant. And here's the punchline. I'll start at the end. I loved the reference because I had long forgotten. Je suis Charlie.
Charlie Hebdo.
At the editorial, you know, the writer brings up the Parisian place that got bombed and they refused to go out of business. And they had buttons that said, Je suis Charlie. And of course, what it also brought back. There's nothing quite as weird as hearing French spoken with a Boston accent. And at one point, when I was in high school, the school sent me to one of these emerging, you know, this would have been the 50s, and when America was trying to be very international and everything. So I went, and it was the World Affairs Council, and I sat next to some French people. And I tried to speak a little bit of French, and they said, of course, you know how the French are. They're so picky. And then they said, you speak French like you come from Perpignan. Perpignan would be like the French equivalent of Des Moines.
Hey, I was born in Des Moines, Hugh. So you meant that as a compliment, right?
The Parisians are the worst in the world because I was with a French-Canadian girlfriend.
I rest my case.
And we were in Paris. And she, you know, she's fluent, in French, and that's her first language.
Yeah.
And they were all snickering because, you know, there's a Quebecois accent, and they think that's very gauche, you know. So they're all laughing at her, and she's just willing to get out there and kill them, you know. She said, "No, you don't have you have the Quebecois accent, and we don't like that here in Paris." It was great.
Inika, of course, was fluent in French, being Dutch, but she had had the 85 years of French by the time she got out. And so it was a glamour job at Chase Bank, which was brand new, the building, you know, the building that saved Wall Street, One Chase Plaza. And they had a collection of tour guides that were very beautiful, all of them, and they covered about 20 languages anyway. So Inika would give tours, obviously, in Dutch and Flemish, but then also and in English, but in French. And so they had a French group, and so Inika was assigned, and whatever. And Inika had spent a year in Belgium after school, learning, perfecting her French. And that was what the French said. I mean, they said, they stopped her after about a sentence and a half and said, you know, "You speak French like a Belgian. Please give the tour in English." Anyway, more closer to the nerve, I heard the Trump speech. It was great and everything. The one I'm reveling in is Little Tamika in the Manafort case. This is, you know, the jury foreman who was utterly biased.
Even the Roger Stone case.
Yeah. And my thought was, you know, I hope little, and of course, worse, yes, she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I think to myself,
ran for Congress. Did you read Amy Berman Jackson kind of going, "This, I care," you know,
we're talking about the Stone sentencing.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, what a hack. What a hack.
And worse yet, I sound like a broken record. I Googled her. Uh-huh. And once again, Harvard strikes again. She's a double.
Yeah. Well, let me kind of tie it back around and bring in, and Hugh, stay on the line, but Neil and Ben can join in too. And we got time for other calls, 888-627-6008. To me, that kind of stuff and the horrible unfairness of it, once again, I think is something that gives me hope. The Democrats, it seems like, keep doing everything wrong. And I think they're alienating just regular old people. What do you guys think?
Yeah, one hopes.
Yep. Okay, here, how about Anil? We'll take you first and then Ben.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, we're at a point here. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of corruption, Chuck and Julie, that we have in our government, how this deep state really is influencing and causing a lot of problems across the board. So I'm glad what the president's doing. They hate him so much because he's dealing with them. He's got a steel spine to fight them. And I hope Barr arrests some of these individuals. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Stone gets his sentence and McCabe gets nothing. And he lied across the board. You can't make this nonsense up. And so they need to be prosecuted. They need to be arrested. And with a lot of people in the previous administration, it has to stop. And so
what I loved is that Barr replaces the four prosecutors who all quit and, you know, or wants them to give a sentence, not, you know, give a sentence of 3.5 to 4 years and not 9 years. And so then they all quit in a huff. So he puts in another career prosecutor who up on the dais tells the judge that he really believes in the 9-year sentence. No, I don't care about what their department recommended. I think you ought to give 9 years, you know,
and this is nuts.
It's horrifying. I mean, forget about the law. I mean, we're just talking common sense here. The guy, it was a process offense for Manafort, and
Stone,
it's insane.
Well, and you know, here's the thing. Once again, now the New York Times, who we totally know we can trust, is saying, "Oh, Russia's trying to interfere in the election."
But then
I saw they're trying to interfere in Bernie's election too. So it's just like a wash. And you know, Ben, you're up here with us in the suburbs. I just think average people doing their day-to-day lives are just over a lot of the Democrat nonsense. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah. I think a lot of Americans have finally caught on to what this charade is all about. You know, I mean, what would you expect the Russians to do? You know, they got a fellow comrade there, you know.
Yeah, get used to it, people. Country. I mean,
you go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead,
in the internet age. Pardon me?
I said, go ahead. We were all talking.
No, what I said was, you know, get used to it, for God's sakes. We're in the internet age. You think we're going to stop them? There will be a million attempts.
Right. Hey, and they're going to start working for Bloomberg once they realize he's paying $2,500 a month, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, did you notice that
Bloomberg... We're available, Bloomy. I mean, you know, you want to get a little...
Have you got an NDA with Bloomberg, Julie? Because you could probably make some more money.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, you notice that he's released three from their NDA agreements, and I just have a sneaky hunch that these three have received some sort of compensation to just not say a thing. So I'm just a pure guess on my part.
Could be.
You get release if you take funds to lie.
That's right. Be quiet. So are you or are you not a prostitute if you do that? Just negotiate the price.
You know, Chuck, Julie, throughout history, it has shown that communism wins with stupid people. And so the problem here is it's as ridiculous as it sounds with the Russians interfering to have the president win his reelection. We know that the Russians would love to have the Democrats in control. That's who gave him uranium and all this money. But the problem is you still have a segment of Russia that is completely stupid to believe this.
A Democrat will keep the price of oil and gas high.
Yep, exactly. And hey, guys, I can't believe it. We are running out of time. We have like a minute left. So we're going to say goodbye to you, Hugh.
Thank you.
Yeah, goodbye, Anil. Thank you guys for doing this.
Before you go, I wanted to compliment you on yet another new set.
Oh, yes.
This is what we call the Subterranean Plaza, or better known as the basement.
No, it's a world headquarters. Headquarters of the Chuck and Julie broadcast studio. So.
All right. Well, goodbye, guys.
All right. Goodbye, bye-bye. Guys.
Hey, more to come.
Right, it's more to come. More to come. And our thanks to Jan Cook for giving us the firsthand account. We will be putting the podcast up at YouTube on the Chuck and Julie YouTube channel. It'll also be going up at BBS Radio and their YouTube channel. And again, we put all the podcasts and all the shows up. Your one-stop shopping place to go to is chuckandjulie.com. And I'd like to have people follow us on Twitter, chuckandjulie1, because that's where we put up all of the...
I'm not allowed yet to do the Twitter account.
No. No, Chuck. We've seen firsthand...
But I am going to get it.
We've seen firsthand what Chuck Unfiltered can do. So he's not. Fortunately for me, he hasn't figured that out yet. But you're getting more technical. You're getting more technical. We didn't even get into the Harvey Weinstein jury.
No.
Sent out questions. No. That's looking kind of funny too. I'm wondering what they're going to do with that. So we want to say
screw them over. That's what we're going to do.
Well, the prosecutors are going to try. I think.
They'll
real
succeed.
Quick. Well, the jurors sent out. They're hung on the two main counts. The jurors are.
We'll just retry them. They don't care.
Well, I don't know. I heard it was an unusual thing where the prosecutor said we won't accept a partial verdict.
What's that mean?
Exactly.
Well, I've never heard that. They always convict you on the lesser included charges.
Right. Right.
And then they go on to try to get five more trials to get you on the rest. That'd be great. Let them go.
A lot going on. So when we on Monday, so we're Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3:00. We thank everybody who listens, everybody who subscribes, everybody who likes us.
And Steve, try again. We'll get you on next time. Look like a good sandwich, though.
That was
English. That was English.
That'll do it for us. Our thanks to the
take care, everybody.
Well, let me just say thank you to the BBS crew.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks to the great guys at BBS for taking such good care of us, and we'll see you Monday.
Bye bye.